This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Bye-bye, my love, goodbye. There goes my baby with someone new. She sure looks happy, I sure am blue. She was my baby till he stepped in. Goodbye from romance, that might have been.
Oh yeah, a little bit of the Everly Brothers. To start off February here on Freedom Works. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is, indeed, Wednesday, February the 2nd. It is Groundhog Day. Are we going to go out, Ed, I guess, and look? There must be a groundhog here somewhere. There's two groundhogs. No.
Today is 2-2-22.
Yeah, you're right. Wow. Is that good luck or bad luck for us? I don't know. We'll
some
find
numbers
it.
To play for Lotto.
That's true. And we're looking for groundhogs. Anyway, in a few minutes, Christian Watson is going to join us. He is from the group, the organization Color Us United. We're going to talk about what he sees as the absurdity of a company or a college or Congress, for that matter, trying to look like America. Trying so hard to look like America. What's that all about? Well, we'll find out, so stay tuned. And President Biden, now we hear he is sending 3,000 troops to Eastern Europe. As that Ukrainian crisis boils even hotter, we are going to get some thoughts on all that and a few other things as well with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, His Eminence Andrew Sorese, a little bit later in the show. Stay tuned for that. And all those lockdowns, all these years, these lockdowns to skirt the COVID virus, you know, it only reduced the death toll by 0.2%. 0.2%, according to Johns Hopkins University. So we're gonna take a look at that as well. And then our ultimate top 10, you know, we've had a lot of this cold weather, especially here from the Midwest on east. We're going to look at the top 10 coldest states overall in America, so stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut for men in Tampa Bay. It is definitely Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin. It is located in the Overcash Plaza on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. Guys, call for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. That's 733-3773. Before we start out, I got to bring this up because I just heard it. So the new Washington football nickname, Ed, is the Washington, did I hear this right? The Washington Commanders? What in the hell is the Washington Commanders? Are you excited about that?
You gotta remember, it took them a year to come up with this name.
Couldn't they come up with something a little bit, I don't know, a little bit more, what's the word? Visceral?
Hmm.
You know what I mean? A little, you know, the Commanders. It's such a milquetoast pablum.
And this was supposed, I think this was supposed to wait till after the Super Bowl.
But, I like the Redskins a lot better.
Yeah,
that's got some bite.
But one of their own, Joe Theismann, their former quarterback, leaked it out.
Oh.
They're not very happy
terrible.
About it.
Well, you know what? Who cares?
Yeah.
The Commanders. You know, there are names now that have, they have, as an example, I was watching the St. John's University basketball team last night. They used to be called the Redmen, right?
Yeah.
You remember? Well, they can't call them that anymore.
No.
So what are they called? They're called the Red Storm. The hell is a Red Storm? You know? A Red Storm. I don't know. I want something with a little panache.
Yeah.
My favorite team is the Richmond Spiders.
I was starting to get used to the Washington football team.
Yeah.
You know, because can you imagine, you know, being a player?
Hey, here comes my team, the Washington football team. Go football team.
Can you imagine just being a player and being out somewhere and somebody says, what team do you play for? The Washington football
team.
What's the name? The Washington football team.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
People will think it's a drum, but it's just my coffee cup.
Well, it's the table and then the springs on the microphone.
Order in the court.
Judge Judy.
All right. I like that. I never knew we even had that kind of reverberation. I want to get right to this lockdown thing. For some years now, right? Everybody's been trying to hide from the COVID virus. So now Johns Hopkins University, which is one of the most prestigious medical universities in the country, if not number one, says that it only reduced mortality by 0.2%. 0.2%. That's like minuscule. Think about it, 0.2%. In other words, if you had wandered around outside while all of this is going on and going into the stores and this and that, you basically wouldn't have increased the chance of getting this disease.
Right.
And dying from it. Now, this is what they say. While this meta-analysis concludes that lockdowns have had little to no public health effects, they have imposed enormous economic and social cost where they've been adopted. Well, you could have talked to Governor DeSantis about this right from the start, because he didn't want to lock down anything. He wanted to keep everything as much as he could to keep it open. And I've noticed that all these places where all these people are huddled with masks, I don't care where it is, I don't see any difference at all in keeping away that bug. Now, the researchers were an economics professor, a couple of economics professor, and somebody from the Copenhagen Center for Political Studies. They analyzed the effects of the lockdown in such areas as school shutdowns, business closures, and mask mandates. And he said, we find little to no evidence that mandated lockdowns in Europe or the United States had a noticeable effect on COVID-19 mortality rates. Hey, we could have saved a lot of time, trouble, and probably a lot of mask buying. We just said, you know what, let's just get past this thing. I don't know, but obviously, we didn't know what the honest truth is, we didn't know what it was, and so we were doing what we thought was right.
Right, no, we were more focused on blaming somebody than we were trying to figure this thing out. Remember every
death? It easily fell into that.
Do you remember when he was in office? Every death, every day, it was announced the amount of deaths, and it was always against Trump. This is Trump's fault. These deaths should go against him.
Well,
since he's out of office, you don't hear all the new deaths after that are not directed towards Biden.
No.
That's absurd to say that. That's absurd. Why would you say something like that?
We fell into a political fight on this thing almost from the get-go. First of all, there were people that didn't want the fact that it came from China to even mention that it came
right.
from China, right?
Right.
So there was politics in that. Then we were shut. Then Trump said, look, we're going to stop taking in people from certain countries where we know that they've really got this thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
There was politics in that. Oh, you're being racist, right? I mean, we had all of these different things. We went from one thing to mm-hmm. another. And then there was politics in the way he was going to get the vaccine out. You're right. I mean, it really did. It fell into politics. Which is inevitable when you've got people in Washington who do nothing but try to figure out what they're supposed to be doing to take in all the money that they take in. So, you know, that's how this goes. But I just find this very interesting. I mean, does that mean that we could have just been wandering around outside and into the stores and everything else from the from the get-go, and we would have virtually no difference in the number of people that died from this thing? That's the impression I get when I read this thing, if it's true.
Mm.
Yeah, very interesting. All right.
Do you think poor Governor Cuomo would still be in office, right?
Yeah, that's another thing. Well, Governor Cuomo had more than one issue.
Yeah, I know, but still.
He had the sex issue.
Remember the whole thing? I need the hospital ship, and it's going to take him weeks to bring it up there. It was there 2 days.
I know.
They didn't need it. I need refrigeration trucks for all of the dead.
Right.
And then the trucks sat there empty.
It was a mess. We were stumbling over ourselves trying to do what we thought was the right thing, I think. But politics always rears its ugly head. Okay, let us take our break. When we come back, Christian Watson is going to talk to us about the absurdity of a company, a college, or even Congress trying to look like America.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap tooth. She's got a hat on.
Hey, we are back on February 2nd, 2-2-22, as Seth figured out. Whether it's good luck or bad luck, we don't know. But the groundhog, we're looking for him. I think he burrows himself underneath our radio station, but we will find him. In the meantime, delighted to have Christian Watson join us. He is a spokesman for Color Us United. He's also the host of Pensive Politics with Christian Watson. And he has written a piece for InsideSources.com called The Absurdity of Looking Like America. Christian, welcome to Freedom Works.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Our pleasure to have you. I found this to be a very interesting point of view. You talk about how, the absurdity of trying to kind of look like all things to what I'm getting from this, look like all things to all people, and we are falling flat on our face trying to do it. You mention that Congress, in fact, may be the best example of why looking like America doesn't make any sense. Could you kind of expound on that a little bit?
Of course. So, you know, the idea of an institution looking like America as it is used today simply means that an institution needs to have a quote-unquote diverse number of people. Now, what does that mean? It needs to have someone from every sexual orientation, every race, every gender, whatever category you want to use. That's basically what it means. Well, the problem is that Congress itself is a good argument against this. For example, in Minnesota, who has two female senators, but the state is, there's a lot of males in the state. So would someone seriously argue that there should be a male senator to represent all of the males? Or even look at Ilhan Omar's district in Minneapolis. She is a Somali American, but there are not a lot of Somali Americans in Minnesota. So should Ilhan Omar be replaced on that basis? Perhaps on a different basis she should be, but on that basis, perhaps not. The point is, you cannot calculate what it means to look like America, because that is ever changing, and that's going to change depending on which area you're looking at.
Indeed. And these days, is not the race issue being thrown in everybody's face? I mean, for one thing or another, it's coming down to a matter of your race rather than your individuality. This is the thing that drives me crazy. Trying to arbitrarily create some sort of a, I don't know what you would call it, some sort of thing that appeases everybody actually ends up appeasing nobody.
I agree. I agree, because the human beings, we are creatures of desire, and our desires are ultimately very fickle things. They change so much, we're never satisfied. It's part of the reason why we have civilization, because we've always wanted more and more and more and more. That's a more philosophical point, but it kind of gets us into the crux of this issue here. You know, you can't be all things for all people, especially if you're in an institution. Nor should you be. Institutions have very specific functions, especially as they relate to American society. A business is meant to do what it does, which is to provide value for its shareholders and to faithfully sell its product. It's not meant to be a diversity thing, a diversity hire thing. You know, the Supreme Court is meant to adjudicate Constitution and preserve the Constitution. It's not meant to be a place where you can have a smorgasbord of people who are picked because of their identity,
right,
as Biden is doing now. I mean, institutions have functions, and when our institutions are not being used in accordance to their functions, they fall apart, and that threatens our society.
Yeah, you make some perfect sense with this. Look at what we're trying to do now, like at Harvard University. In the interest of trying to promote diversity, they have ended up shutting out other groups. As an example, they are trying to get more African-Americans into Harvard. So they kind of reserve a spot at the table, you might say. But somebody else has to leave the table for that to occur that might very well deserve to be at the table. In this case, I believe it was some Asian-Americans that were suing Harvard because of the very thing that they were trying to do, which was to get everybody at the table. But like you say, that's not the point of Harvard. The point of Harvard is to take people that can take in their kind of their quality of education and learn from it. That's the point. The point of Congress isn't, well, we need to have X percent white, X percent black, X percent Hispanic, and one Somali American. No, that's not the point. The point is to do the business of this country, to legislate. Right. Go ahead. I know I'm on a tangent, but I agree with you on all of this. Go ahead.
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. And more broadly, the moment we try to reinvent institutions in our subjective image is, again, the moment we lose sight of what's really important. Congress, as you mentioned, does exist to do the business of the country. But really, Congress also exists, and it's gotten away from this over the past few hundred years, but this is still its intended goal. It really exists to preserve Americans' rights and to preserve the foundations that this country was built on, foundations of natural law and universal human principles that apply to all of us. And when we lose sight of that, we have lost sight of that throughout our history, which has led to a lot of government abuse and government waste and government overextension. But when we lose sight of that in an even more permanent way by trying to reimagine the institution in our image, then we're in some deep, deep trouble. We're in some deep trouble culturally, socially, and politically.
We're talking with Christian Watson from Color Us United, host of Pensive Politics with Christian Watson. By the way, where can one hear that program, Pensive Politics, Christian?
Yeah, so I integrated my podcast to my YouTube channel. So if you just go on YouTube and you type in the word Christian Watson, my channel will come up and you can see it right there.
Oh, okay, great. All right. And he's penned a piece called The Absurdity of Looking Like America for InsideSources.com. Now, you mentioned in this article, Christian, after George Floyd's death, numerous Wall Street corporations began embracing the diversity, equity, inclusion dogma. What do you call it? The DEI dogma. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And all of a sudden, was that a turning point, George Floyd death? It seemed like it was one of many incidents where there was attention paid to a white versus black, which the media seems to jump on right away, especially when it's, would you call it white on black crime? You know, they jump on that immediately, and they run with it, don't they, for several days?
Yeah, so I think George Floyd really shook the racial discourse in America. Of course, there are instances before George Floyd which mattered as well. Michael Brown, Ferguson was a huge one. I believe it was Freddie Gray in Baltimore who was taken away and the police bar he died in that, and their care, I think, has done. So yeah, those events also caused a lot of outrage. So the BLM stuff has been happening for a while, but George Floyd really emboldened corporations to further pursue DEI. Many of them were doing it before that. When that happened, oh my gosh, they believed that they had the mandate of the masses. And so after that, they basically used George Floyd's death, and they're continuing to use George Floyd's death as an attempt to redefine a lot of things which have already been traditionally understood to mean a certain thing, and then use that redefinition to push a political agenda. For example, maybe civic here, they're engaging the press to redefine racism as a matter of power, not as a matter of value. This has been happening for like many, many years, but after the George Floyd thing, you know, you see a white cop and doing things to a black man. For these people who think racism is about power, they see a power imbalance. They don't see, you know, perhaps just a cop that was acting very poor judgment. They don't see it. They see a power imbalance, and they transfer that to racism. So these corporations are doing this. American Express is doing this. American Express had the great grandson of the founder of the Nation of Islam come to their company and tell their employees that capitalism is racist. And they're also trying to encourage white employees to be silent when black employees or Latino employees or Asian employees are speaking to build allyship. It's a bunch of segregation nonsense.
I want to let people know, if you don't mind, Christy, you are a black man, and you are talking about this issue, because you seem to understand and see what's going on, and you have the courage to talk about it. I just want to mention that, because, of course, we're on radio. But this is... Are we going to ever get do you think we're ever going to get past this this whole thing of, you know, race coming up almost immediately when anything goes wrong in this country? Are we ever going to get, seems like we've, maybe at some point we're going to move on to something else, but what do you think?
Most folks already have gone past. Look at the stats. Empirically, can prove this. Most, whopping majority of Americans, like upwards 96-95% are okay living in neighborhoods. Actually, growing in neighborhoods, people of different cultures and skin colors than them. 91% of Americans are approving of interracial marriage. I mean, color, race, has not really been a barrier between social relations in any meaningful way, except in ways that we have made it.
Say, Christian, excuse me for interrupting. Can you, for some reason, you're coming across a little bit garbled right now. It's hard to pick up on.
Sorry.
I'm wondering if, I don't know if it's a matter of talking more directly into the speaker or what might be.
Yeah. Is it better?
There you go. I think so. Okay. I am sorry about that. But please continue.
Yeah, no, so really, race doesn't play much of a role for most Americans. How you treat people plays more of a role than race does. And the stats bear that out. So I think we already have gotten past it, quote unquote. Well, people who haven't gotten past it are people who stand to profit from pushing race endlessly. Those are the people who will always stay on it. Even if we existed in a scientific sci-fi civilization that had no races and we had interstellar travel, there would still be a group of people that said, oh my gosh, racism is still the biggest barrier for people. So, most folks have gotten past it.
Yeah. So interesting. I really appreciate your thoughts, Christian. I really appreciate you coming on and talking with us about this issue. And I look forward to doing this again with you. Thank you so very much for coming on.
No problem. I'm happy to be here.
All right. Thank you. Christian Watson, Color Us United. And again, the podcast, Pensive Politics with Christian Watson. Let us take our break, and when we come back, we're sending about 3,000 troops now over to Eastern Europe. What the hell is 3,000 troops going to do, first of all? I have no idea, but we'll talk about it with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Coming January 31st on Tan Talk.
I'm the king, Jim Leyland.
I'm the cop, Tommy Sentner.
We had to beat the bad guy. We had to win. Man, there was nothing better.
And I'm the host, Mike Straka.
Who's this sweet-talking guy right here?
What are they talking about?
The King and the Cop with Mike Straka.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Groundhog Day. Thank you so very much for being with us. Hey, there's a new poll. There's always a new poll, but here's one from USA Today. It says Joe Biden is struggling in the politically pivotal state of Florida, where more than half of potential voters disapprove of his handling of the economy and of his job overall. The Suffolk University USA Today poll suggest only 39% of respondents approve of what he's doing, 53% disapprove. And they also have him losing to two prominent Republicans, none other than Governor Ron DeSantis and Senator Marco Rubio, if either one of them ran. So very interesting. We've got the...
Marco.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, apparently.
Hey, you keep mentioning it's Groundhog Day. You going to tell anybody, everybody what happened?
What happened?
Well, this morning.
What?
Well, it's Groundhog Day, which means he comes out.
Yeah.
And he says whether he sees a shadow,
or not. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you didn't tell everybody. What happened?
The groundhog died.
No.
Oh.
They ate him.
Who did?
No.
Actually, that's terrible.
Punxsutawney Phil came out this morning.
Oh, he did?
Yes. Saw his shadow. 6 more weeks of winter.
Wow. Well, you know how much snow is up there right now? I can believe it.
And they're going to get hit again this weekend.
Yes, they are. So much for this climate change, global warming thing right now, right? All of a sudden, all those people run away for a while.
All those people with electric cars up there are going nowhere.
That's true. We have got the man himself, the proprietor of the barber pole. And Andrew, Joe Biden has just announced he's sending about 3,000 troops over to Eastern Europe. I'm sure that now that he's doing that, the war will be over, and Putin is probably quaking in his boots with the 3,000 to go up against his, what, 150,000 that are circulating around the Ukrainian border?
Well, Paul, I think 3,000 troops will be just enough to shine the Russians' boots.
Yes.
Keep them clean.
That's probably right. I mean, Napoleon once said, if you want to take Vienna, take Vienna. In other words, don't do anything small. Do it and overwhelm. And yet we've never learned that lesson, have we? We do little incremental things like we did in Vietnam. And then we lose about 68,000 Americans, you know, by being incremental. Because we're not going to go and win the war. Either go or don't go.
Well, I guess Russia doesn't believe in that, does he? Putin's going out all the way.
He is.
No question about it.
He is. If he wants to do something, he's going to do it, it looks like.
That's right.
And he's challenging not only the United States and Biden, but he's challenging the NATO countries to do something about it, rather than just sitting around and talk, I guess.
Well, the NATO countries would be like Trudeau. They'll go in hiding.
You know, that's another thing. This Justin Trudeau, he's starting to look like a little bit of a namby-pamby. He goes into hiding, and then he gets the virus.
Starting? I can't believe the Canadians voted him in. That just goes to show they got 60% stupid people. We got 50% stupid people.
Well, we're kind of jumping over to another topic, but let's talk about it because I do have a story, if I can find it, about some U.S. congressmen backing those truckers up in Ottawa, the capital of Canada. Where is the story here? because of what is going on, and saying they have every right to peacefully protest this vaccine mandate. Here it is. Congressional Republicans says the massive Canadian Freedom Convoy protest against cross-border vaccine mandates is gaining support among U.S. Congressional Republicans who say they back the demonstrators' message against coronavirus restrictions. So that's they're taking a stand on that. It's making Trudeau look like a weakling.
Well, wait till that happens here. They're talking about the end of February, the American truckers doing the same thing.
Wow.
And you know what? I think it's a good thing. Because, you know, when the truckers stop, apparently they're not moving in
Ottawa. Yeah.
And they've got them completely closed in, locked down.
I'll tell you what. When truckers stop delivering products and stores their shelves are empty, we're gonna have a panic, and we're going to demand action.
Well, when the truckers all sit down, you're going to see the day the earth stood still.
Yeah.
Okay, and they're doing it. And you know what? I back them 100%, Paul. I believe that they've got to do it. Somebody's got to do something, and they've got the guts to do it.
We have got to release the grip, the governmental grip on individuals trying to do their job. Allow them to make mistakes and think for themselves rather than herding them like cattle. Slap on your masks, get your shots, do this, do that. It's we have forgotten what humanity is all about.
Well, the problem is we're being ruled by a bunch of wussies, okay? And they just have no clue of what's going on. They're afraid of their own shadow. The only problem is by them being afraid of their own shadow, the rest of the world is walking all over us.
Yeah. Yeah, we look particularly weak right now on the world stage, don't we?
Oh, weak isn't the word for it. We look like we're in a wheelchair with no legs. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's very sad.
And no therapy to help it, you know? So,
by the way, go ahead, I'm sorry.
We're at a standstill of what's going on in this country. There's no question about it. I was reading a report with the Federalist Papers this morning. Are you familiar with them?
Yes, I am. The Federalist Papers go back to our founding fathers. They're great, a great read. People should take the time to look them up. Go ahead.
They are talking right now that 50% of the American population believe in impeaching Biden. 50%, Paul.
Now, where do you hear that number? Because I don't think that's a legitimate number. Are you talking about an organization or the actual Federalist Papers?
The Federalist Papers.
The Federalist Papers are papers that go way back before Biden.
This is an organization.
An organization, excuse me.
Okay. Federalist Organization.
Okay, the Federalist Organization.
And they're stating that he's got 50% of the American people want him impeached. And you know what? I believe it. I hear people all day talking. I go in the store. I don't hear one person happy about what's going on. I don't see one person wearing a Bring Back Better hat. I don't see one person happy about paying $3.50 a gallon for gas, 19% increase in foods. Have you seen anybody happy?
If they were paying $3.50 a gallon for gas in California, they'd probably be happy. They're spending about $5 a gallon there. But you're right.
We're spending here.
I think there's no question about his favorability. It's in the toilet. The question might be whether half of the country wants him impeached. That's another question. However, he is not doing the job. Speaking of that, I want to talk about the possibility of Kamala Harris becoming the judicial Supreme Court nomination of Biden. I was reading a story that went along with your because you had mentioned that.
That's right.
The other day. They say that it would make, in the long run, it would make Kamala Harris look like a goofus, because everybody would know that they're taking her out of the White House or the vice presidential position to get her out of the way. That's really so that he can get maybe some more dynamic vice presidential candidate and a successor to him when he finally stumbles his way out of the White House for good.
Paul, it's a government job. Government jobs, the people can't get fired. So when you can't produce in your job and you're doing a crappy job and they have to move you, they promote you.
True.
They promote you, Paul. That's the government job. That's how it works. If you don't believe me, go look around at our government agencies.
No, I agree with you. They do. In fact, what was the term? They used to use that all the time, where you are promoted one step above your level of competency. You remember that?
Yeah, I
remember. There is a term for promoting people, and they're always promoted one step higher than what they can really perform. It's kind of, and so I wouldn't, I would kind of call this a horizontal move. You know, moving Kamala over. But you know what? I would bet you $1 million that's not going to happen. If I had a million, which I don't, that's not going to happen. They're going to keep her there. Biden is going to go after some other black woman that's going to be on the court. And that's the way it's going to go.
Yep. I mean, you know, people aren't too happy about that. You're picking somebody on race, Paul.
I know.
Again.
Of course. Of course, this guy stumbles. Look, we knew he would do, everybody knew he was probably going to do that anyway. He made a promise that he was going to put a black woman on the Supreme Court if he ever got the chance. So no surprise there. But to blatantly say, hey, I'm sliding everything else off the table, everything, it's only going to be a black woman, that makes you look stupid.
You think? Well, look, at everything the guy does is ridiculous. The minute he opens his mouth, it's ridiculous. I mean, if the whole Democrat Party, Paul, in November, if we don't take care of this problem we've got going on in this country, we're doomed.
We're talking with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi. He had a governor's conference yesterday. I think it was yesterday, if not the day before. And the press, Biden was supposed to ask the press to leave, and he forgot to ask them. So the press was still in there, and he started the meeting with the governors. And all of a sudden, I guess one of the Biden, whatever you call it, people that protect him and keep him in his cocoon stopped everything. Said, okay, now you've got, okay, thank you, everybody. Now you got to leave. Now you got to, you know. In other words, they didn't want the press or the microphones picking up what the governors were about to say to Biden about what was going on. Once they got out of there, apparently a bunch of them gave him the riot act, especially about the southern border.
Well, like I say, let's leave our border open. Let's worry about Ukraine's border. Let ours open. And did you see the other day when they had the videos? They had the videos of these immigrants, illegal immigrants, being loaded off the buses in Maitland, Florida. People were there protesting on Monday. And they told them, oh, no, you people are making a mistake. These people all have green cards to work. What I want to know is one thing. What crops are they picking this time of year?
A good question. I don't know.
It's winter. There are no crops being picked, buddy.
So they're just trying to drop these people off because of the fact that you think because of the spite between Biden and DeSantis and things like that?
Well, it's going on all over the country, not just with Ron DeSantis.
True.
I mean, they're dropping them off in New York and wherever they want to put these people to infiltrate and get their voting power stronger, that's where they're dumping them, Paul.
You know, the interesting thing is that the Hispanic population is slowly sliding more towards the Republicans.
Well, those are the Hispanics that have been here for a while, Paul, and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're not people that are just coming in illegally. There's a whole different breed of people. These are people that came in this country, became citizens.
My point is that eventually or ultimately, if this is what the Democrats are thinking, that they're going to have a higher base of Democrats, it's going to backfire on them.
But it might backfire too late, Paul.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I see what you mean.
We don't have time to waste.
True. Well, there's no question we've got to stop this nonsense about what's going on at the border. He's getting pressure. He has no answer for it. Jen Psaki, his spokesman, the press secretary, she's stumbling all over herself trying to defend an indefensible policy of allowing the border to remain open.
She lies every time she opens her mouth, too, Paul.
Yeah.
The whole system is broken, and if we don't fix it, we the people do not fix it, we the people are destined to fail.
Yeah.
Period.
All right, my friend. I certainly, a stiff warning from you, and it makes some sense. Thank you so much, Andrew. And, of course, we will talk again on Friday.
stop by on your way home, buddy.
Okay, I will. Thanks so much, right. my friend. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I don't know. I'm thinking that, first of all, a lot of those, these illegals that are just being dropped off, they're not about to, they just want to hide in the bushes for a while. I'm not too worried about them going out and voting.
Well, now hang on. I saw something about 6 or 8 months ago, and I wish I'd have followed up on it. Okay. I told you that I was at a shopping center at the Walmart Neighborhood Mart on Sunset Point Road and Highland. There's a shopping center back in there.
Okay.
Okay, and it was probably just after dark, and there were probably 150, Mexicans, whatever they are. They were all... had the same gear on.
In other words, they looked like they just got off the bus.
Well, there was nobody speaking English. And they were coming in, as I was getting my groceries, they were coming into to Walmart to get, you know, a soda or whatever. And so I kind of saw them up close. And then I went, followed them over to... Now, there was a storefront. You know how you open up a storefront and you got signs in the windows and you know, product, what you're selling, whatever. And you walk by. This was just a very generic... window, nothing, and there was a guy or a couple of desks in there with people sitting at the desk, and all these people were lined up, stayed in line. They had chairs, so they obviously were expecting long lines. So they had lawn chairs they were sitting in. They would go in there, they would receive something, and then they would leave. And there was a guy out there handing out forms. I was trying to get a form, but he wouldn't give me one.
Really?
Yeah. And if they're dropping these people off, they got to give them money. They can't just throw them on the street because...
So you think that this is probably goes all the way back to a connection to the...
I think maybe that there was something like that going on. You know, a bus could have dropped them off earlier, but they were all waiting in line. Nobody was causing a ruckus with that many people. Some problems would happen. They're all standing in line. They had lawn chairs. There were females, males...
How long ago was this?
I want to say 8 months ago,
About 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was during the summer.
So you never really found out exactly what was going on.
I'm driving home and I kept saying, I got to go back and find out. What the heck is going on? It was very strange to see that amount of people in that parking lot waiting. And like I said, people with lawn chairs sitting and waiting in line.
Was it mostly men?
No, it was mixed.
Okay. Wow. That is interesting. Well, thank you for that, I guess. All right. Let us take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, we're going to talk about the ACLU and its former director saying the ACLU has lost its way. I'm gonna raise a fuss, I'm gonna raise a holler.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. We are here, by the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. However, You can also listen to us any little old time you want, thanks to Big Ed, because all of our shows are placed on podcast on our website. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button there at the top. There's the shows. Thanks, Big Ed. Get them all on there. You see the guests, the top 10, the whole bit. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, a former head of the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, is slamming the group for failing to champion free speech and failing to live up to its values. Ira Glasser, he was the fifth executive director of the ACLU. He was there a long time, 1978 to 2001. He feels that the hard work he put into the group is not paying off anymore. He said they just produced a couple of years ago new guidelines for their lawyers to use when deciding what free speech cases to take. Glasser was talking with Bill Maher, by the way. You ever watch HBO, Ed, Bill Maher, or any of that? I don't get HBO, so I never do. I hear about his show.
But yeah, I used to watch him once in a while.
He's becoming more conservative.
Yeah. Now he has, but before that, he made a comment. I think it was, I don't know if it was the Gulf War or something like that, where he said that America is the real cowards because we're the one that are lofting missiles at a country from the water. And don't have the guts to put boots on the ground. Oh, something in that effect.
Yeah.
I didn't watch him.
Sounds like him.
But I heard he's changed a bit.
He's becoming sick of this woke thing, that's for sure. And he doesn't mind saying it.
I think we all are.
I think so, too. Anyway, so Ira Glasser, former American Civil Liberties Union executive director, he talks about how they are now censoring what they will go after in terms of freedom with the ACLU. He says there's a requirement now for the ACLU employers that before they take a case defending somebody's free speech, they have to make sure that the speech doesn't offend or threaten other civil liberties values. Now, you remember when the Nazis marched in Skokie, Illinois? Well, you might not remember it, but he was the ACLU director when there was a march. He defended the Nazis' freedom to march. In a Jewish town, Skokie, Illinois, heavily Jewish, back in the 70s. And he got a lot of praise for having the guts to do that. No longer, apparently. All right, before we go into our top 10, I just got to ask you one final time, Ed. I noticed that, I guess, Tom Brady has closed the book for good.
Yeah.
Officially now.
Yeah.
On being the quarterback, and he's stepping away. Do you think it is permanent, or do you think he might have second thoughts down the road?
No, I don't think he'll pull a Brett Favre. I think that's it. That's just not Tom Brady.
Yeah. He seems he's got everything planned.
And that's
this is it.
And that's the way he wanted it. You know, he didn't want somebody else to leak it. He wanted to go out in his way.
Yeah. Well, I think he's doing the right thing. I said that before. And, you know, he's leaving in one piece. How many guys have played that many years and can barely walk down the street, you know?
I think he waited a couple of days just to see, but I think he saw that the Bucs are not going to maybe rebuild, but need to retool a little bit because they're going to lose some players because of free agency. And I don't think he wanted to get his brains beat in at 45 years old.
No, I don't blame him. Why did he not at least acknowledge his time with the New England Patriots in his retirement speech?
Listen, I heard that before. He will in a time and place. This was not the time nor the place. He was retiring from football. He was retiring from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
He could have mentioned a tip of the hat to the New England fans for all of my years there.
But I'm sure that will come.
Yes, but there was a method to his madness. He specifically avoided mentioning all of those years, and I think he was doing it intentionally. This was not an oversight. This was a calculated omission.
I don't know.
I think so. Very interesting. It's just, I think his relationship with that team soured. I think this is, that retirement speech has shown that it's soured. But anyway, that's the way it goes. Anyway, Ed, time for our top 10. Got a good one. Top 10 coldest U.S. states. Now, you would think we would know this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's find out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
WorldPopulationReview.com. Number one. I should say number 10. What am I talking about? Number 10 is a tie between Idaho and Michigan.
Okay.
Idaho and Michigan are tied for 10th coldest states in the U.S. Average temperature, 44.4 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay. Number 9, New Hampshire. Ever been to New Hampshire?
No.
Okay. New Hampshire, 9th coldest. Temperature rate ranges from minus 4 to 15 degrees during January, the coldest month. The northern part of New Hampshire affected by strong Arctic winds from Canada. Number 8, Wisconsin, 8th coldest state, average temperature 43.1 degrees. They've got Lake Superior and Lake Michigan border parts of the state helping that. Number 7, Vermont. You ever been to Vermont?
Nope.
I understand it's a nice state. I've never been there either.
I'd like to see it in the fall.
You go there for the sap.
Yeah.
There's a lot of saps in Vermont.
Yeah, probably.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Vermont is the 7th coldest state, average temperature 42.9 degrees Fahrenheit in the winter. Summer's generally mild in Vermont, ranging from 75 to 82. All right, number 6. The Big Sky State, Montana.
Oh, that was mine.
You thought it was going to be the coldest?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, it gets cold there. Average temperature 42.7 degrees.
Because usually when there's a cold spot, you'll always hear in the news that, and the low this morning in Billings, Montana.
Yes. During Montana's coldest month of January, the average temperature, zero. Zero.
Okay. I got a backup. Go ahead.
Number 5. Wyoming.
Nope. Okay.
Is that your backup?
Nope.
Wyoming, 5th coldest state, average temperature 42 degrees. Average minimum in the winter ranges from 0 to 15 degrees Fahrenheit. Number 4, Minnesota. Minnesota, 4th coldest state. Let's see here. You got Lake Superior there. Greatly affected by the latitude and proximity of Lake Superior. January's temperatures can drop to as low as minus 30.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, Maine. Maine, the 3rd coldest state. Average temperature is 41 degrees. Winters in Maine have an average low temperature of 12 and lots of snow. Number 2, North Dakota.
Oh, damn.
2nd coldest. All right. We only have a little bit of time. What do you think is number 1?
That was it. I thought it was North Dakota.
You're okay. It is not. It's Alaska. Alaska.
Right,
You remember Alaska? It's near the North Pole.
Yeah.
In Alaska. Average temperature of 26.6 can go as low as minus 30 during the winter. Fairbanks area experiences some of the hottest and coldest temperatures, by the way. Highs of 90 in the summer and minus 50 in the winter.
So I was thinking lower 48. Now, you said...
I said...
States, including Alaska. I would have said Alaska right
I said
off the
coldest
bat.
U.S. states.
I know.
All right. We'll do the warmest one of these times. All right. Thanks so much. We'll be back on Friday. Freedom Works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for...